to hell to a tongue of Iloa, Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM. You can also listen to us in your ears. We are streaming on the Odyssey app with Dolphins training camp around the corner. Canes not too far away. Heat making moves. Summer League, talking about it all. We're keeping an eye on the Panthers and Marlins as they continue their seasons. So keep up with everything. Listen to Tobin and Leroy on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. All there for you for free. What's up, man?
Nothing. So fix your camera. You want to have a football question real quick?
Sure. Love it.
Because I like asking you these questions because I like you to keep it real. Like in real life, you know, that IRL. That's what I'm going to do with you.
Sure.
Keep it real.
Girl.
If I tell you right now, who has more of a chance next year? I'm going to go the Canes or the Dolphins. Who you got? College may be a little easier just because of competition, but they still, when they've had powerhouses, they still haven't won the ACC.
That's true.
So I'm not, I'm just going, you got Tua.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a quarterback who won a national championship and that team didn't want him.
Yes.
Right? So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have the Canes going to have an unbelievable defense, I believe. I just think with those guys returning, they look really
and
good.
And a new coordinator.
Yeah, that's true. And then you got the Dolphins. Like, I don't know where they fit in because they have a lot of pieces that you can honestly say you're unsure about.
Much tougher schedule this year than last year for the Canes.
Yeah.
Last year was
I just saw Virginia doesn't have to play Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame, or who else? Who's the other? They have to play SMU. They don't have to play any of those teams. So they might qualify for the championship just because of their schedule.
Yeah, the Canes have Notre Dame to open up the season, which we're all excited about. They got Florida end of September. Then they go to Florida State. I don't know what Florida State's going to be this year.
Who, like, is that the most baffling thing?
But it is a rivalry game.
Okay.
And then they got to go to SMU this year.
Ooh.
At the beginning of November. They got Syracuse. You guys better get revenge on that game.
Syracuse.
Still makes me sick to my stomach.
Well, I mean, Syracuse.
21-0, dude.
Yeah. You do realize who you're talking to.
I know.
All right.
Come
all right.
On.
I've been on.
What a crime.
You know what's amazing about that situation? You never remember the times you were on the other side of that. Because the Canes have been playing with fire for like 3 weeks.
They were playing with
fire. Right. So.
They literally had, but they what they basically had was like a stunt devil at quarterback. Because he's like, watch this, guys. There's a swimming shark. I'm going to tightrope it across. And hey, we came out with the win.
Right. And so when you're on the other side of that, why do we insist on not believing that it could happen to you? Right? The Golden State Warriors won 73 games 1 year.
It just felt
they
like
came back from 3-1 and then lost three.
It just felt like the defense got progressively worse as the season
went on. Were they banged up or was the offense just putting them in a lot of those situations?
Well, I mean, the offense, they did have to come up with some key stops for the offense to pull out those miracles.
Yeah, but they were in that situation.
I
don't know. So that's the thing. When you think of when you think about the Dolphins, I think defensively they'll be okay, right? Offensively, you have a lot of power, a lot of firepower.
Gus Malzahn's still doing it.
Yep.
Jesus.
But
guy looks like he should be in a rocking chair.
But you have a better, I would say, you have more hope because you've seen the players that they have success.
Yeah, I think the Canes. I think the Canes got a good backfield. I think that they've, you know, they've shown
the offensive line is dominant.
Come on,
yeah,
just full of moose.
Yeah, but that's how a football team is built. In case you're wondering,
is it?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, and so to get to your question on the Dolphins, would you be more surprised if the Dolphins finished first or last?
I would be more surprised
first. Yeah.
Well, you're just saying because you got Buffalo. But I would say
they can't beat.
Right.
They can't
I would say this. Shockingly, I think they'll win 10-11 games. I do. And here's what I'm going to say. The sign of a good coach, right? And I do believe, when I say I believe Mike McDaniel is a good coach,
mm-hmm.
one of the signs of a good coach is to be able to self-evaluate. And when I look at all the places that he's coached, all those places have had a physical run game. Like, why are we talking about he came from San Francisco? San Francisco is physical up front, which is amazing. I don't recognize. This is nothing that Mike McDaniel did last year. Nothing he's done in all the places that he's been in.
Nope.
Nothing. Now, I will say this. Young coaches and new coaches sometimes overcoach a situation. That means that you think you know what they're going to do, so you come out with an adjustment without even identifying whether they can stop what you do. And that's what it looked like he did last year with all those short passes, all those runs, trying to figure out, hey, we're not strong in the middle on the offensive line, so we're going to run a whole bunch of sweeps and quick passes and try to be ahead of that. When sometimes you got to just line up and play football.
Sure.
So I think if you go back and see all the plays that he's come, this is the farthest away from any of that, what they did last year.
Yeah, they couldn't run the football to save their life last year. It was – because even when they had Mostert, and I remember you talking about this, like it took him a while. Kind of took until Jeff Wilson got there to start running up the middle, like kind of changed the attitude of the team and Raheem
right.
Mostert. But – like last year, he was bad, then injured. And, you know, so I'm hopeful that.
But they got a couple of more physical running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They got a couple of physical guys up front. But this is one of the situations where I'm going to say this. One of the things I appreciate about playing at that level is that guys have the ability to adjust to what is demanded of them, right? Like, football players aren't soft, right? Offensive linemen, defensive linemen are not soft. But sometimes you put them in situations where you're asking them to not be as physical and, you know, with all the sweeps and stuff like that, and they lose focus on being physical and understanding that offensive, defensive lines are physicality.
So you'd be more surprised, Marcos, if they were first than last?
Yeah, for sure.
Just because they can't beat Buffalo?
Yeah.
Because none of us think like the nobody thinks the Patriots are going to come out of nowhere to win the division.
Nope.
No. Even though they spent a lot of money, they got a new coach, Drake May, people are higher on him.
They're going to be extremely physical. If you look at what their coach has done at every stop,
yeah,
they've run the football, play action, physical up front.
Wasn't he supposed to cut off his junk?
He would only cut off his junk if they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
They only got to the AFC Championship.
I
got
to tell you. I wish I had won a Super Bowl.
Not like that.
Not like that. And I would hope that everybody would understand that we not self-neutering.
Paleo says 2-13 versus Josh Allen.
Okay, it happens. I've been victim
of
that.
Is that it happens? It feels like that. No, it's a certainty.
Yeah.
Guess what?
It happened to the Dolphins.
I think in the 5 years I was in Cleveland and then in Minnesota and then in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
I beat the Pittsburgh Steelers one time.
Two things are annoying about the Bills, right? Not only that they stomp the Dolphins, but it's always that they lose to Josh Allen. And has Tua gotten hurt 3 times against them, seriously?
Yeah.
I know he had the concussion. I know he got his ribs broken. I feel like there was another time, too, that he got hurt against the Bills.
Wasn't it the his head hit the ground like a late hit or something like that? Or his back?
I don't know. Maybe it was only twice, but there were two big injuries. I know he got his. I know AJ Epenesa broke his ribs.
Yeah.
Because the Dolphins had a dollar store line.
Wow.
And then, went Leroy Jenkins putting his head into DeMar Hamlin.
Not the best. Not the best form there.
So, I think I'd be less surprised if they finish last just because I don't think they can finish first. I don't think they can beat that team. Until I see it.
Until you see it.
And see it, how can I believe it?
Right. And that's the thing. There's certain aspects of just Dolphins football that until you see something different, I can't be mad at you if you make an assumption.
Evan 11 says, I think you guys are omitting that there have been times they've been close to beating the Bills, like last year. Yes, but there's also been times where the Bills have stomped on them too, Evan. So it's like usually there's a close one that's always a squeaker, and then there's an ass-kicking. Except for the year they were able to beat them in the heat, and then they played them pretty close on the road.
Right.
You know, where the Bills fans all recognize, did you guys know it's hot in Florida? Oh, God, I hate fan base.
Ban the sun.
Is the guy in the elbow room, is he a Bills fan? Is that why they host them? Because
yeah,
I don't want anybody to turn down money, but can we ban them? Can that just be a Panthers bar now?
Yeah, come on, right? Like, the Bills haven't brought you championships. No Bills fans are there at 3 in the morning waiting on Sasha Barkov.
I miss him. Where is he? Where is that rascal?
Getting drunk.
Him and Reinhardt. That one goes for the ages, those two.
Yeah.
Let's go. It sounds like they're having fun in there.
We're having fun here.
No. Barkov's like, we're having fun here. And Reinhardt's like, we'll go party. And you're just ranting like a drunk.
Yep.
You ever have that, like, with a friend where you party with them too much, but they get emotional, so you gotta watch them?
Yeah.
But you're drunk, too?
Yep.
And you just want to get into shenanigans?
Like, absolutely. When you started shadow boxing?
Yes.
Dude. So, first of all, we walking down the strip and go, was that the same time we go, are you hungry? And we ate, I got lobster mac and cheese on the strip. And it was 100 degrees at 12 o'clock at night.
We're hungry.
And we were hungry. Mm. So we walking through the casino. No, this was the first time we went.
Oh.
Because this is when we went to the, when we went with Crowder and Hawk to the restaurant. And you were sitting at the bar behind me buying drinks.
The boy Dale on YouTube says it was the DeMar hit. The wobble walk, which they won the wobble walk, and then the broken ribs.
The wobble walk was my back, right? Was that the one that was?
They said he
my
hurt
back?
His back. Yeah,
my back.
When he was probably concussed
for sure
because he got shoveskied
100%,
and then he got hurt. Right, like he got hurt
yes.
the next day on Thursday Night Football they played.
Yep.
Yeesh. Stupid Bills.
Dirty Bills.
Dirty Bills.
You know what's annoying is like they're sitting here and they're doing the same thing with Patrick Mahomes, but it's at such a higher level. Like we can't even win that part of the video game to elevate. Like,
if you get past Josh Allen, you got to deal with the boss.
It's frustrating.
The boss monster.
It's frustrating.
We tried.
But you know what? Like, this is like sports. Like sometimes somebody gets on a heater. And if you're that other team or those other teams in that, it's like the Jordan years, right? How do you think Utah feels?
Oh.
Right? Come on. It happens. But I'm like, everybody was talking about Utah. Oh, they can't get over the hump. These guys can't do this. These guys. But the answer is Jordan. So – you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and the Buffalo quarterback in the same conference.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way you're going to get past, and this is how it happens, is at some point they play each other and cancel one out, and you only got to beat one of them.
Take a break here on the show. Streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. We're back after this.
And strangely started rooting for them in 2016.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm going to be there. I'm going to be.
You're doing a international trip?
Yeah.
For the Dolphins?
The Browns and the Vikings.
Ooh. Wow. Can we talk about that? Can I talk about that?
Yeah.
Leroy's going international. You're going to you're going to England this year?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I told you this already.
Fix your blurry kind of. I just didn't know if we could talk about it. Because the Leroy Horde Bowl is happening this year across the pond.
Yeah.
Fix your camera.
Vikings versus Browns.
Wow.
I'm going, I'm going to leave on a Wednesday and come back on like a Tuesday.
That's cool.
Yeah. Huh?
You ever been to Europe?
No.
Wow.
No, my wife and my daughter wanted me to go to, my wife and my daughter wanted me to go to Paris with them, but.
Yeah, I don't feel like you're going to like the food there.
No, huh?
I don't feel like you're going to like the food there. I feel like
too
this.
Foofy.
Too foofy. Yeah. Too much thick beer.
So, needless to say, things I should not ask for in London. Fried catfish? No.
Of course, you have to try it. Yeah. You have to try it at least.
Beer is too filling.
It's going to be so warm, though.
What do you mean?
They do room temperature beer.
That's what they do? They don't do cold beer?
No way.
What?
They don't do... No, it's all warm.
Not anything?
Nope.
No, they don't use ice in Europe.
Yeah. Or deodorant.
You can't say that.
I'm sorry.
Too much.
No, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I saw that on TV.
So, yeah, I'll
so you're like an ambassador. You know what you're doing? You're growing the game more than Joe Burrow.
You're growing the game.
You're actually growing the game.
Hmm. Oh, man.
You got to hit the links there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're taking me, I go golfing at two places.
Ooh.
And then, like, I don't know if I'm going to do the tours. And then I do, like, a meet and greet.
God, Leroy's going to fat shame the
hell
out of
him. And then I have, I have to double dip for the halftime. I mean, for the pregame. So
you're, like, going on both?
Yeah. So, I go to, I do the Browns tailgate and then go do the Minnesota tailgate.
Oh, that's early. That's October 5th is the game.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. And I think it's going to be cold.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
anybody
me,
going with you? Your family?
Yeah, Metcalf, okay. You know, we always
We
always do stuff together. Me, Metcalf, Bernie.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so it's more of a Browns trip.
Huh?
It's more of a Browns trip.
Yeah, that's a Browns trip.
That's a Browns trip.
Nah.
Browns trip.
But then I got Mike Morris.
Okay. All right.
From the Vikings. I don't know who else is going. But cool thing about Mike Morris, he was the long snapper when I got to Minnesota. He played guard when I was in Cleveland.
Oh, Vikings John Denny. So
that's a Brown then.
So he played with both teams also.
That's a Brown strip.
I feel like Leroy's going to fat shame a Buckingham Palace guard.
Oh, for sure.
Nah, I ain't going there.
Why not?
Dude, wait. So it's funny that you say that. I've been watching Rain.
Oh, Rain on Netflix?
Yeah. No, on Prime.
Oh, it's on Prime? Okay.
Yeah. And I've seen it already, but I would just watch again because I'm amazed at how they do business back in those days where they arrange marriages at a young age to kind of have a relationship with the country, right? But then, you know, you don't even have to love the person. Then they have mistresses, and they put the mistresses up in the
They do. They got other chambers.
Yeah, and chambers in the castle, right? Or they call it in the court,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they have bastard kids.
Yep.
And everybody's just like.
Well, that King Henry, I mean, he wanted that son, and so he just swapped out the wives. He's just making his own laws,
right? So it's like, yeah. So it's like, right now, it's
that's what he did.
It's basically about Mary Queen of Scots.
So he was very horny, but he also he also wanted a son, and the first wife he couldn't get a son. They only had a daughter, and so he goes, well, I'm gonna take another one for a spin.
So,
but they're like, no, you can't get divorced. He goes, guess what? I'm not Catholic anymore.
Ooh.
Boom.
That's and that's like while people talk about religions. Mm. Woo.
Yep.
Whether you were Catholic or Protestant back then, that was a big deal.
That did not go over well.
Because the biggest army in the world was the Vatican. You couldn't make a move. You couldn't get married or divorce without the approval from the Vatican and a pope.
Yep. Wow. It was basically the Amias Papias versus Nicolandria of 20, I guess, the whatever century it was back then.
1500s?
1500s.
Wow. So he invented the transfer portal.
But
that's essentially.
Oh, he goes up there and he throws the Queen Catherine away and he goes, I'm Anne Boleyn guy now. See ya. Yeah,
he's done.
So, yeah, it's crazy. And then the most evil people in all of these castles, the mothers.
Oh
my goodness. What's her name? Chris Medici? The Medici.
Who's that?
The family is very big back then.
The Medici. Spell it.
What? Catherine Medici.
Oh.
Medici.
I don't think you said it three times. I don't think you gave it.
It's Medici.
She was in my fourth grade class.
What?
Yeah, I remember.
Huh?
Very smart. Oh, I see. De Medici. You got to say it like that. Even though she's French. The spelling,
is it Medici or Medici?
It's D-E apostrophe space M-E-D-I-C-I.
Mm.
De Medici.
Yeah.
But it's French, though.
It's French. And like it's like, oh my goodness!
You got a French accent? Do you got a Rudy Gobert in you? Do you?
Me?
Yeah.
You asking? Yeah.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. Yeah.
By the way, the French don't talk like that.
We talk like that.
This
is how we talk.
Socle bleu. You
know what a big thing in Canada. It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
See, like the German, they have uns. Like everything is uns.
Uns.
No, it's not.
And then the French are hong,
hong, croissant.
And then the English are
how can we forget? How can we forget that one?
I was telling Leroy, I was like, this is the most international the Heat have been. They got somebody from Italy,
yeah, true.
Serbia, Lithuania, and Sweden.
Yeah, if only we got that coach from Spain.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Jay Gatto. I want to fight you right now.
Why? People in the UK are going to see Leroy look like a Timu. Who's that?
If you saw him, you'll know who it is.
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah.
JFix says, this is cancel material.
It is.
Hey, guys. I got a compliment. I got a complaint from our Odyssey station in France.
Hey, look, if we were on Love Island, we'd get pulled for this.
Oh, Love Island, dude. Let me tell you.
Come on.
Can I just tell you?
Do we need to take a break first? Because every time you get carried away in Love Island,
I just think this show has lost its plot. It really has. I can't. With who they sent home yesterday.
They sent someone. Oh, yeah, because the finals
are coming up. Yeah, the finals are coming up. Yeah. And I need a minute to
come.
We'll mix it on up. We'll take a break. Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the show. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. It's that time of the program, ladies and gentlemen, where you hear the reins, hand the reins on over to some webbed digits. Frog Boy, what do you got for the mixed bag?
Guys?
Yes?
Yes?
Do you know what yesterday was the anniversary of?
July 8th.
Mm-hmm. Where were you July 8th, maybe like 2010-ish, potentially?
Is that my honeymoon? Still?
Selfish.
What?
Just always thinking about yourself, huh?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out what. What was it?
The decision, of course.
LeBron's decision?
LeBron's decision.
Man, 15 years already, huh?
15
Good
years.
God. I know. I remember exactly where I was that day then. I was at the old 790 The Ticket Studios because I hosted the Decision Reaction Show.
Did you?
I did. We went all the way, and we went late. It was myself, David Allen. I think somebody else was there too. I forget. I apologize. But we went all the way till 5 in the morning till Sedano took over.
5 in the morning?
Yeah. We literally went all friggin' night.
And at that time, were you guys, like, active on a text line or phone line? Like, I want to know, were there fans, like, up at that time? Like,
there was people were calling. Dude, people were calling the show all night.
Wow.
All night they were reacting to the decision.
That's amazing.
It was literally, like, it was nonstop. People were calling us pots and pans. It was literally like the Heat won a championship.
What would it take to replicate that? Because we've won two championships.
I don't think you can. I don't think there's any. I don't even think if Joker came here, I don't think it. Because, first of all, I don't think he's hosting a TV show.
No way.
And it's just so. It's so in the. Like, first of all, I don't think there's three guys that can get together like that anymore that would have the gravitas of Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh coming together.
Yeah.
That would be like, oh, man.
It would be the equivalent to, I mean, who would you
I'll tell you, you know what, to be honest with you, the most it's been like that, and it hasn't, it was probably Luka Doncic getting traded. It felt the most like a decision of like just, oh, is this, like, but even that was a little bit like, whoa, this happened. We all knew LeBron was thinking about jumping. We kind of felt by that time the decision, I think a lot of Heat fans were feeling pretty good that he was gonna possibly pick Miami, but the hate that he got was different than Luka, because most of the hate went towards the Mavericks.
Right, that's it.
Everybody hated LeBron.
It would be somebody,
and we're all here celebrating.
Yeah,
I mean, the closest thing you have to any of that is OKC. Those three guys are amazing, but they were already together. Would it be KD going to Golden State?
People were mad about that, for sure, and they thought that
was... They were calling KD a coward.
They definitely did, but it still wasn't... Because even his return to OKC wasn't what LeBron's to Cleveland was.
Right. Yeah.
I think if, unfortunately, because they're old, it probably still won't slap the same. But if somehow Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James said one last season, we're going here, people would be like, wow, that's crazy.
Steph would have to leave Golden State, though.
That's the thing. Yes.
Steph would have to leave Golden State.
I'm talking they go to, like, Utah or something.
But that
like
would that. Be, it would have to be, like, so somebody
and
coming
they would
up,
say they're too old. Everybody would immediately say too old.
Too old, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about in their prime. Yeah. It would have to be like if Luka, Joker,
and
Ant-Man got together.
Ooh. Right.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Right? That'd be crazy.
And it's amazing.
But I don't think it can be replicated.
No,
we're so
because you're asking guys who can make $70 million to take maybe
it's
40
weirder for
million.
A guy. It's even weirder. It's weirder for a guy to stay with his team the whole time of his career now than it is for a guy to change teams.
Yeah.
It's just so
right.
It's so part of what makes the NBA popular, you know? Like, they almost like it's weird. Like, if now maybe the money, like, you know, SGA is going to probably never leave OKC because he'll make, $1 billion contract by the end of his career with the way that the NBA contracts are going. But I don't think it can be replicated.
No.
Anyway, why'd you ask?
No reason.
Oh, no. Okay.
Brian Windhorst.
It's funny. His name is Windhorse.
Yeah.
But wind ain't affecting him one bit whatsoever.
Leroy!
I'm sorry.
One may say he's an anchor.
Sorry. It was low. Like, come on. Just why not?
Well, our boy Wendy says this is what stands out 15 years later.
I tell you about Decision Day. One, they raised millions of dollars for Boys and Girls Clubs that night, and they just botched the rollout of that announcement so poorly. They didn't tell people that clearly enough, and so it's lost to history. That's one. One of the reasons, you want to know why? Because when they were supposed to be rehearsing it, Kanye West showed up where LeBron was hanging out before the game, unannounced, distracted LeBron. Not that that was the reason, but that was one of the crazy things that happened that day.
Wow, goodness. Okay.
Number two, when the Cavs were informed of LeBron's decision, it was Rich Paul, who was not even LeBron's agent yet, who called the Cavs, They respected him for doing that, and that formed the basis of the relationship that helped LeBron come back 4 years later. That's important to remember. And when did the Cavs start getting LeBron James back? They got him back the next day, because what nobody remembers is after that Dan Gilbert letter, which was, you know, on fire.
Yeah, literally.
Dan Gilbert and Chris Grant, the general manager, came together and did a sign and trade. They actually traded LeBron to Miami, got over that emotion, and they got assets back that helped the Cavs later on build the team. They, part of those assets were used to trade for Kevin Love.
And the contest, the decision, it's nobody thought about any of this stuff with the decision. He literally mentioned three things nobody thought about with the decision. Like, enough Windhorst.
Wow.
Like, you know, very nice LeBron raised money for charity. But then he's like, Rich Paul made the call, and also, and the return started the next day. That's what you thought about?
Well, no.
Let me tell you something. No, he didn't think about that.
No.
Now, maybe in retrospect, he's thinking about it, but I bet you at the time, he didn't think about that.
Absolutely not.
Get out of here.
I love the way owners and GMs and coaches can get upset about certain things in the sport, but a player can't. Because, I mean, let's be clear. Dan Gilbert lost his damn mind with that letter.
Woof!
Right? And there were no ramifications or anything.
It was crazy.
And then to first of all, if you're going to be that petty in a letter, then you probably shouldn't have did a sign and trade.
Dude, and you want to know what's, like, also a little bit of horse bleep about what he's saying? Like, yes, it ended up being a sign and trade, and, like, he gave up assets even though, like, because they thought they were going to get LeBron. You know, the way it worked back then is they signed four-year contracts with opt-ins for two. So, like, you could extend it to six. So the Heat was like, yeah, LeBron's never going to leave us. Like, Chris Bosh is never going to leave us. Sure, right. Take our first-round picks. Okay, what are they going to be, the 32nd pick?
Right.
Who gives a rat's ass? But Dan Gilbert was, like, whining about the collective bargaining agreement. He was demanding trades get vetoed. Like, he wasn't planning to get LeBron the next day. He was planning to get LeBron. Shut up. Nobody thought about that. Anyway, just whatever.
Struck a nerve there, Wendy.
It's just, what are you talking about?
Yeah. What
is he talking about? Like, what is he talking about?
I'm like,
because, you know, like, he's done this bit before. He's done this bit before where he's like, because I thought that LeBron's return started on Zydrunas Ilgauskas' jersey retirement night. Like, what are we talking about? It started the next day. Like, okay. What if Gordon Hayward signed with them and then they wouldn't have had the cap space for LeBron? Did it start the next day then? It's just stupid. It's a stupid thing to say.
I don't know. I just think one of the things that happened with LeBron and has happened throughout his career has never happened with any other superstar, right? Like, how they go after him, how they talk about what he can or can't do. I mean, I remember, you know, Skip Bayless going after LeBron, and I start thinking, y'all saying that LeBron ain't no, you know, Michael Jordan, but y'all talk trash about Michael Jordan his first 6 years too. The whole thing with Jordan was great scorer, can't win a championship. You can't have a championship with your main scorer being that ball dominant, right? That was the thing.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, we forget that we said the same thing about...
Nobody says anything about Jordan these
right,
days.
Right! Exactly!
What else you got in the mixed bag, Froggy?
I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but real quick, yes or no, if Patrick Mahomes decided to leave the Chiefs and join the Eagles, for example...
No.
If you know what it would have to be? He would have to go to the Cowboys.
Oh,
yeah. If Patrick Mahomes... and Ja'Marr Chase were able to opt out of their contract. The thing is, in football, you can't do, but if you were able to do something like that, that would probably have to be it. You're on the right path. Like, it would have to be something like that, or I guess, like, Joe Burrow or Josh Allen. If Josh Allen left beloved Buffalo, he's the most beloved, and he's just like, I can't win here. And he's like, I'm going to the Cowboys.
Wow.
You know, but he never won the big one. Because even Mahomes, it's hard because part of LeBron people making fun of him was, oh, you're a coward. You're going to play Robin to D. Wade. You can't win. D. Wade's already won. So it's like it would have to be like Josh Allen leaves Buffalo to go to the Cowboys with a star, with Saquon and Jamar Chase.
Whoa. 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 That's crazy. All right, staying in the basketball world, which we were on originally, Brad Stevens.
Ugh. What is this? This is the annoy me mix bag?
So far.
Just shake up the bag and pull out. What do we got here? Brad Stevens.
What's the next cut? JJ Redick?
Well, Brad Stevens, obviously the Celtics are one of the teams that are going to be taking a step back this season because of a major injury to their star. This is Mr. Stevens on his expectations on the season.
My expectations are always the same. Compete like hell to win the next game. You know, like that's always going to be it. That will always be it. And that's the way that we're going to try to put our foot forward. We've got some new guys. We've got some guys that will have to take on extra, you know, extra in their roles. But we believe in the guys that have been in the building. And we look forward to getting the guys that haven't and all working together to try to create a team that functions well together and plays hard as hell. You know, that'll be it. You know, I've said many times that the North Star for me is winning championships. And this is without question when you trade guys like Drew and KP, there's some retooling going on. But the one thing that when I was coaching, you know, when the term rebuild came up, I thought it was a crazy term. None of us were here before, so it should be build, right? You're always building and growing towards something. And for this group, we've got so many guys back that are really good players that's not going to be part of the lexicon in our building.
You know what? Can I just give a...
Wow, okay.
Game recognized game. I know a semantic samurai when I hear one. I know a semantic. Well, how could it be a rebuild? We've only been here for a build. Well done. Well done, Brad Stevens. Well done. I see what you're doing.
Wow.
What are we doing?
Oh, man. Give us something else in the mixed bag, Marcos. Maybe somebody who doesn't infuriate me.
All right. Here we have Colin Cowherd. what's the deal over there? Well, we heard from Eric Glass earlier as he talked about our boy Ghosty.
I'm a glass man.
This is him praising Keyshawn and Pella Larson for their activity during yesterday's blowout victory.
Trying to get Pella on ball reps a little bit more than what he got as a rookie. As part of his growth, KJ, I didn't feel like I did a good enough job in the first game that he played, getting him involved in the offense. I thought KJ played his role very well, and he didn't press, and it was a really concerted effort for me to get him in more actions today. And then you see a lot of the production in the box score because I was able to do that. You know, he's a good player. He made good reads. We trust him. So I was happy with how we were able to involve him.
He was out there like a ninja.
It was amazing.
Hacking folks.
Oh, you're talking about Kasparis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was but yeah, we got two KJs. We got rookie KJ and you got sophomore KJ.
Right.
But Keyshawn Johnson played awesome. Yakachonis, work in progress.
Keyshawn is very, very athletic.
Very athletic.
And I don't understand how can that not help you.
I don't either.
But see, so I think that's my whole problem with how the Miami Heat have done things, right? I'm never going to tell them what player I think can help or hurt them. But I'm saying you got a lot of guys in your organization who you have no idea because you refuse to put them in the pressure cooker to see if they can handle it. I mean, Keyshawn came up, what, two or three times? Played some.
I think he only got like two real games where he got right to play. One he put like on a crazy dunk show. It was awesome.
Right, but that's like, don't you need to know if that's going to work out?
Yeah, I think with him, I think it's okay to have development projects. I think that's okay. But I do think like, okay, they had their year to cook. Now it's like, they should play.
And again, this is one of those situations where You've developed a guy, you haven't played him, and then you play him. He shows a little. He shows some of what he can do, and now you have to make a decision that pays him a lot of money, and you haven't gotten. See, part of the thing about contracts for me is, if I'm going to extend you, I would at least like to know you exceeded, and it's almost like I owe you, so I can justify it. With these guys, with a lot of guys that the Heat run through their organization, you have to make a decision before they actually really.
Yeah, and I
gave
think
you anything.
And I think with him, it's a little different because I think he's an undrafted guy. So I think this is the last year that's guaranteed. So, you better find out.
Right.
You better find out.
And so that's like, I think there's too many guys on this team. Not that you don't think they're going to be good or not, but you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even have a conversation with it because you haven't seen them play. And they go, oh, he's working his tail off again. That ain't the game.
Steph says, Keyshawn, too small to get rebounds against bigger players, gets boxed out. He can dribble better than Highsmith and jumps higher. Yeah, I mean, he's not very small. I don't think we really know. I think that's one of those things.
Right, like,
you're going to trust Haywood to be there. And he's bigger than Haywood Highsmith is.
He's a wider body. But I'm like, okay, do you realize, and here's what I would like people to think. You say that about Keyshawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize Bam is a 6'9 center and all the guys he defend are over taller than him?
Yep.
So, like, yeah, you can't keep saying that. If you want an athletic wing and you want a guy that you can put in and maybe play some defense on the wings, then, yeah, he's got to get some minutes somewhere. He's very athletic. He can get up and down the floor. How well does he shoot?
Yeah. Shoots okay.
Okay.
He shoots okay. Right? I think that's probably the big thing that they're working on. But you know, they worked on that with Haywood, and Haywood became a pretty respectable shooter.
Right.
You know, everybody leaves him open. Like, I don't think anybody defend, but right. There's been how many games do you think like Haywood Highsmith has killed somebody with like a 5-for-7 from downtown because nobody was respecting him?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I think it's gonna be something of that ilk. You know, I'm not saying that cast off Haywood, but like if there are other moves to happen, somebody else wants Haywood Highsmith in a deal, yeah, maybe that's a direction that they go in. So
I don't know. I just think you need to put these guys in a position.
But Pella's, I'm going to tell you something right now. Pella's a dog, dude. Like I'm him.
That's my second group. He'd be in the second line.
Pella's an absolute.
So could you imagine? Well, here's the problem. Who are you going to stagger? Because you got to stagger scoring. You can't put Davion and Pella in on the same, right? Because they're both dogs. But, I mean, Davion had a career year shooting a three, didn't he?
He had a career year, and he had a career run with the Heat.
Right. So from that standpoint, I get what they do on the defensive end and with the hustle, but you can't have two guards out there and neither one of them can shoot.
Can't wait to watch Team Sweden.
Team Sweden?
Yeah.
For what?
Pella. Eurobasket.
Oh. Who's not who's not playing? That
Kasperus.
He's not Kasperus playing. Kasperus not playing. Is Nico's Jaime playing?
For Team Mexico?
Uh-huh.
No. Oh, Mexico's not in Europe.
No, I'm just give it to me.
Give it minus to me. -1.
I wasn't even let me be fair. I wasn't even thinking Europe.
Thinking
I was just thinking guys from, different, like almost like the Olympics, right? Like FIFA.
-1.
I'll take it. But I love the way you just responded. Oh, you think I'm from Europe? he whispered it. But loud enough so everybody could hear it.
Take a break. Back after this.